Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
The rock star comedian Loyiso Madinga is in the building, and you're pulling off a waistcoat, bro. I haven't seen someone pull off a waistcoat in a very long time.
Thank you.
And you're doing it.
I didn't think I'd put. I was worried. I don't have a mirror in my apartment.
How do you brush your teeth? You don't brush your teeth in the mirror.
Not like a full.
Oh, not a full length.
I know I'm short, but I don't use a full length mirror to brush my teeth.
And at that, not only is it a waistcoat, but it matches the pants.
I'm on my way to a premiere.
Oh wow! Yeah, where you go? What premiere?
To Wonder Boy.
Okay.
It's Kagiso Lidiga's movie.
That's right.
It's tonight. The premiere is tonight.
Yes, so that's he's in a lot of movies. That guy.
Yeah, he's just shot one now with. What's her name? The hottie. What's her name?
There's a couple.
Yeah, I know. This country's full of them. Yeah, that girl.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah, we'll Google it. We'll figure it out.
Laser on it. Yeah. So that's where I'm headed. That's why I'm trying to look. Because comedians aren't known for dressing
up. Interesting. You're speaking about Kagiso Lidiga, and the thing that pops to mind is that he managed to work with a hot woman in a movie. Is this what you also aspire to do one day?
I'm trying to sell it. I'm trying to help sell this film. I'm trying to go, yo, guys, the script is amazing, but this belter, yo. why not? It's a measure. Beautiful women are the measure of success.
Who's the most beautiful woman you've worked with?
Worked with.
Yeah. Or alongside.
Most beautiful, Talita. Talita Ndima.
Okay, yeah. I must Google. I must have a look.
No, Google. She's a very, very pretty girl. You're gonna go in the Google.
I'm gonna go.
Jump onto the Talitha Ndima. Spelled Talitha.
Talitha
Ndima.
Ndima. What does she do? Also a comedian.
She's an actress. She's an actress.
Ah, an actress. What were you guys working on together?
We're on Mantua with Kagiso, and we're good friends.
That show's fantastic. It's very cool that they put something like that on TV. Yeah, what was your involvement?
I was a writer and performer on it.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was dope. It was a craziest experience, just sitting every day, getting into the room and going, who's got the funniest ideas, and we'll shoot that. So you go from something that you just thought was stupidly funny, and next thing you know, everyone's dressed like, you know, there's a whole crew around your idea and people are making it happen. So it was dope.
That
was
very, very cool. I'm sure they're going to bring it back now though, because they have to. They've got to fill the TV with 90% local, so whether it was good or bad, I'll probably come back, bro.
Everything's coming back.
Everything's going to make a comeback.
North for North 2.
What do you think it is the most interesting part of your story? I mean, I've got your whole story in front of me here, but if we had to find the most interesting, quirky bit in the life and times thus far of Loyiso Madinga, what really pops?
I think the best, just the one thing that always sticks out in my life that I try to measure everything else off of was, I used to be in advertising. I was in advertising for like seven years. Sometime through 2009, I just felt like this isn't what I want to do.
Didn't want to sell that toothpaste anymore.
No, man. You're a dog. I was selling airtime. I was the MTN. Yeah, I was. Oof.
Well, that shouldn't be too hard of a job. Everybody wants airtime.
Yeah.
Okay, it was horrible.
So anyway, at some point I was like, fuck, I can't do this anymore. And one day I just decided tomorrow I'm going to get to work and quit my job. And I quit my job. And then 2 months later, first time traveling around ever on my own. And I booked a ticket to Bangkok. This is what I did.
Okay.
I booked a ticket to Bangkok in Thailand. Then I booked a return 3 months later from India.
Wow.
I did no research. And I was like, somehow I'll make it through. I'll get from that point to that point via land.
Huh.
And then for 3 months I was like.
And you did it.
Well, I skipped a few countries because I
don't
have time.
Did you have a lot of money to do this? Or how did you?
Southeast Asia is cheap as fuck.
Yeah.
It's so cheap. It's actually ridiculously cheap. I think the whole trip cost me like 30 G's. Which I made off of an MTN gig. Actually, MTN pretty much paid for my trip because it was like a voice job that I had to do.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was great.
So for 3 months you traveled. Okay, so there's a few questions.
Yeah.
The first one in those 3 months is, okay, you answered that you got by with 30,000 rand. That was okay.
Yeah.
The second one was, who's the most interesting person that you met? And then how much sex did you have, if any?
The most interesting person.
And by the way, those two could have the same answer.
Oh, man. It was the people in Ho Chi Minh City in the south of Vietnam are the nice, like, just like ridiculously nice people.
Okay.
Like, you know, like, don't tell South Africans about them nice because we'll come rob them.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah.
That kind of nice. So I was walking down the road one day and this chick stops me, speaks no word of English. So she just stops me and we're just staring at each other for a while. And I guess she's just excited to see a black person. And then eventually, like after being nice, I was like, okay, let me take a photo of you. I took a photo of her, took a photo of us, and she seemed very excited. I was like, okay, cool. Then I walk. A few blocks later, she taps me on the shoulder again.
Huh.
And she's got coconut. She's got like a coconut board. Like, you know, when they just chop the top off of a coconut and they drink
And you can't speak to each other because there's
no words were spoken.
This feels like an esoteric piece of theater.
This is the most beautiful moment in my trip. That was just like, you know, just like you don't get that kind of interaction very often at
all.
And
then you banged in the corner.
You want to hear about the banging stories. I remember the first night on an island, and my friends got this picture of, oh man, I've never told the story. First day on the island, I've probably been traveling now for like a week, so I'm still like wet behind the ears in terms of, you know, etiquette of travel. And first night on this island, Koh Tao, and I'm partying my tits off. I'm drinking all the rum, right? At some point, there's this, the thing about Thai women is they're mostly shy. If they're not shy, if you meet a Thai woman and she's not shy, either she's a prostitute or a man.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's very valuable information.
You learn this late sometimes, right? So me dancing with this chick now, hottie, I am like so happy. And then and she's like, can you walk me back home? I'm like, yeah, I'm walking back home. Halfway through, she's like, okay, it's cool. So it's going to be 1,000 baht. I was like, why you gotta crush my dreams like that?
Oh no!
Yeah, so that was a bummer. That was a bummer. But that island was literally
It was lit.
Dog.
Yeah. Dog. So you landed up in India after 3 months. That's very impressive.
Yeah, it was insane. I did Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, Malaysia, India.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, it was.
Do you feel like trip. Sometimes I feel like this way about traveling is that like I can think of the past 3 months in my life here in Johannesburg and like the day to day of it. And then I think like, geez, if it was 3 months overseas and it was a travel experience, I would have such, you know, much more vivid memories.
Yeah.
It would feel like I was a little bit more connected to what being a human being actually is.
True.
And sometimes that's difficult to reconcile.
It is.
Because you're like, okay, cool. So I've spent 2 years here, but I feel like I grew more in 2 weeks in some other place than I did here. I don't know. How do you work with all of that?
Oh, man. I think you got to learn to transfer that sense of presence. It's because you lose it because you're in ritual when you get back to your normal life. You're in the chug of it, you know, wake up, brush teeth, get in a car, and you forget to just be in the moment. And that's what the traveling does. It's not like you can't meet interesting people in Joburg. We've got lots of interesting people, but we're not present. You go to your local bar and you already got an idea of what it should be. You should see that chick. You should see your friends and everybody else. You've just totally blocked out because you're not just there. So I think you can just totally transfer that.
It's routine.
It's about, yeah. So just, it's, yeah. So when you go traveling, that sense, try to bring it back with you because you can have those experiences anyway.
Speaking of being present, I mean, you must be really good at this at this point because you have to be so present when you're on stage. Like it's almost like you have to be super connected, like super aware. Yeah. It's like this hyper sense of...
Which sounds like a superpower until no one's laughing at you. You're just super aware of the silence. You're just standing there going... No, I hear the silence. No, it's not just you guys. Me, I'm up here.
But is that when you feel most alive or most, I don't know.
Myself.
Stimulated.
What's the right word? I remember the first time I got on stage. And it was almost like, you know, in the movies when someone can't see and then everything's out of focus and then all of a sudden things go into like
really?
That focus.
Really? That poetic,
mode.
Huh?
Yeah. It literally felt like my life went into focus. So
that's
I can,
quite
whenever
something.
I get on stage, like everything just makes sense. Like I understand why everyone's sitting down and looking at me. I understand why I have a mic. I understand what I'm going
to
say.
And then you step off and it's like back to La La Land.
Yeah, then you're back to, I don't understand the real world.
How do you, and we know for a fact that most comedians are very depressed people. Are you? They are. You know these people you work with.
It's weird. We had this conversation with a friend recently and I'm like, I don't know any depressed people as much as I know really insecure comics.
Okay, that's
like
a good way to put
really
it.
Really insecure maybe it comes from depression. Maybe it's a symptom of depression, and that's what I, that's the one symptom I can see. But just like people who, for me, the louder a comic is on stage, the more insecure they tend to be.
Hmm.
The more secure guys are the guys who just get on stage and they, hey, you know, here's the story.
They're
and
just
then
good.
The guys that I personally know who are more insecure are like, hey, hey, guys, yay! And it's like, well, okay.
So I didn't rate Celeste and Tulia as very insecure, but clearly.
But she doesn't. She,
no, I'm kidding. I can only say that because I don't think she is.
No, no, she's definitely, she's the most, she can't say what she says on stage without being totally secure about it. There's exactly. No way she can get away with it.
How's this whole comedy thing working out? Are you where you want to be? Did you even think you'd make it this far? What's the story? You're going to go watch people's movies tonight. I'm sure you want movies.
Yeah, I'd love to do a movie. Oh, man, I'd love to do a movie. I've always wanted to act. I think that's the dope thing about being a comedian is it leads you into other things that you get to do, like acting. And here in SA, it's growing, dude. Like, it's, when other guys were doing this, it was hard to gig 3 times a month. And now I can gig the whole week if I want to.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Just like clubs. That's not including like corporate and all that kind of stuff. So comics are pretty busy people now. It's, you can do it as a full-time job.
Become
a career. If you hustle hard, you can really. So I'm happy just to be in it sometimes. Like, no matter how small the room is or how shitty the bar, if it's a good night of comedy, it's a good night of comedy. It doesn't matter if it's a teatro or if it's, you know, Poppies on a Monday in Melville where everything is free.
Yeah. That's a good situation.
Yeah, so it's, fuck, man.
You really
I've
do
done
love
the
it.
9 to 5, dude.
Yeah.
I've done the 9 to 5 and I know how it is to live a life that you hate.
Yeah.
Like, I really, and the thing is, I was good at it. I was really, like, I won awards in advertising and all that stuff, but I was like, this is.
What does everyone think of how your comedy career is panning out? Is anybody who's, like, still skeptical at this point?
People are supportive. Yeah. Like, it's a supportive industry. I think it's, we're such strange people that if we find other people who, like, have the talent and the work for it, we just instantly click.
But is it hard to break in? I mean, I would find nothing more intimidating than walking into a room and there's like comedians sitting around a table. Like, I would never be able to join that table.
Yes,
like they quite like,
don't do it.
I would never.
Don't want you.
I would exactly.
We hate you.
So
hate
they
you.
Didn't want you at one point. How did you get in the table?
This thing about comics. Comics don't like anybody, even other comics. Like, if you think you have a friend who's a comic and you're like, hey man, this is my other friend, he's also a comic. We don't like each other just because we're comics. Until we see each other on stage working and see what we actually do, what we're adding, then it's
okay.
Like, this guy, we can be friends. We're, comics are like that. So it's what, that's nice about it. It's a purist environment. Like, you can't fake it. You can't fake being a comic. So, if you're the real deal, then people, it's about being honest. Like, you get on stage and if you put on a persona, like a comedy, you're a condensed version of your best self. Huh. Like, you take all the funny that you are in a week and you condense it into 5 minutes, essentially.
You peak.
Yeah. You bring that all, every moment of funny that I can be in a week, I'm going to bring it into 5 minutes on my, on stage. But it's still you though. So it's this pure, it's almost like a concentrate of your best moments. Like, this is a concentrate of who I am when I'm my best and
the most curated
and not sitting and being insecure and wondering where my life is going at home. This is the best part of my life in that 5 minutes.
Listen, you're a very easy guy to talk to. We were supposed to get to like your whole Twitter timeline here and things like why you follow Reedy Klubby. Now we're out of time. What a disaster.
Shit.
But it's because you're far more interesting than his tweet. I couldn't even get there. You do have a one-man show, though, that we have to plug.
I do. I've got this one-man show at Melrose Arch at the Goliath Comedy Club. Friday night's already sold out on the 29th, 29th, 30th, and 1st of October. No, let me say that right. 29th and 30th of September and the 1st of October.
Jeez, that's annoying that they had to put the dates like that.
Yeah.
Because now every time you speak about it, you've got to go
I've
to two months.
I've got to spin it up, yeah. But Friday night is sold out, so it's Thursday and Saturday is still left. It's going to be so good.
Fantastic.
It's going to be
excited.
So much fun.
And you're all over social media. You actually tweet really funny things. We'll talk about them one day. it's at Loiso Madinga. Leave me with one final sentence. And in fact, you can close the show. So one final sentence, and then you've just got to say the Gareth Cliff Show is next, and you've got to do it in 50 seconds because otherwise we'll
What's the final sentence? Like, I have to make it
up. Yeah, whatever you want to say. Sentence. Whatever there's left to say.
Yo, good people. We're here at Comedy Central. The next show is Cliff himself, the man who is not really a man. See, this is why
this was dreadful.
This
is
horrible.
That was horrible.
I'm a prepared person. You did not prepare me for this.
I appreciate the effort.
I would have nailed this.
I will leave you with one final line.
Oh, thank you.
I think you're a very talented guy.
My show's going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing. It runs on the 29th to 30th of September. Then they decided to put another show on the 1st of October to complicate what the poster looks like. That there is Loyiso Madinga. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.